is Christ a created being? Before passing to some of the practical lessons that are to be learned from these truths, we must dwell for a few moments upon an opinion that is honestly held by many who would not, for any consideration, willingly dishonor Christ, but who, through that opinion, do actually deny his divinity. It is the idea that Christ is a created being who, through the good pleasure of God, was elevated to his present lofty position. No one who holds this view can possibly have any just conception of the exalted position which Christ really occupies. The view in question is built upon a misconception of a single text, Revelation 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. This is wrongly interpreted to mean that Christ is the first being that God created, that God's work of creation began with him. But this view antagonizes the Scripture, which declares that Christ himself created all things. To say that God began his work of creation by creating Christ is to leave Christ entirely out of the work of creation. The word rendered beginning is ark, meaning as well head or chief. It occurs in the name of the Greek ruler, archon, in archbishop, and the word archangel. Take this last word. Christ is the archangel. See Jude 9, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16, John 5, verses 28 and 29, Daniel 10, verse 21. This does not mean that he is the first of the angels, for he is not an angel, but is above them. Hebrews 1, verse 4. It means that he is the chief or prince of the angels, just as an archbishop is the head of the bishops. Christ is the commander of the angels. See Revelation 19, verses 11 through 14. He created the angels. Colossians 1, verse 16. And so the statement that he is the beginning or head of the creation of God means that in him creation had its beginning, that as he himself says, he is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Revelation 21, verses 6, 22, verses 13. He is the source whence all things have their origin. Neither should we imagine that Christ is a creature, because Paul calls him in Colossians 1, verse 15, the firstborn of every creature. For the very next verses show him to be creator and not a creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things. And by him all things consist. Now, if he created everything that was ever created and existed before all created things, it is evident that he himself is not among created things. He is above all creation and not a part of it. The Scriptures declare that Christ is the only begotten Son of God. He is begotten, not created. As to when he was begotten, it is not for us to inquire, nor could our minds grasp it if we were told. The prophet Micah tells us all that we can know about it in these words, But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from the days of eternity. Micah 5, verse 2, margin. There was a time when Christ proceeded forth and came from God, from the bosom of the Father. John 8, verse 42, chapter 1, verse 18. But that time was so far back in the days of eternity that to finite comprehension it is practically without beginning. But the point is that Christ is a begotten Son and not a created subject. He has by inheritance a more excellent name than the angels. He is a son over his own house. Hebrews 1, verse 4, chapter 3, verse 6. And since he is the only begotten Son of God, he is of the very substance and nature of God, and possesses by birth all the attributes of God, for the Father was pleased that his Son should be the express image of his person, the brightness of his glory, and filled with all the fullness of the Godhead. So he has life in himself, he possesses immortality in his own right, and can confer immortality upon others. Life inheres in him, so that it cannot be taken from him. But having voluntarily laid it down, he can take it again. His words are these, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." John 10, verses 17 and 18. If anyone springs the old cavil, how Christ could be immortal and yet die, we have only to say that we do not know. We make no pretensions of fathoming infinity. We cannot understand how Christ could be God in the beginning, sharing equal glory with the Father before the world was, and still be born a babe in Bethlehem. The mystery of the crucifixion and resurrection is but the mystery of the incarnation. We cannot understand how Christ could be God and still become a man for our sake. We cannot understand how he could create the world from nothing, nor how he could raise the dead, nor yet how it is that he works by his Spirit in our hearts, yet we believe and know these things. It should be sufficient for us to accept as true those things which God has revealed without stumbling over things that the mind of an angel cannot fathom. So we delight in the infinite power and glory which the Scriptures declare belong to Christ without worrying our finite minds in a vain attempt to explain the infinite. Finally, we know the divine unity of the Father and the Son from the fact that both have the same Spirit. Paul, after saying that they are in the flesh, cannot please God, continues, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Romans 8, verse 9. Here we find that the Holy Spirit is both the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. Christ is in the bosom of the Father, being by nature of the very substance of God, and having life in himself, he is properly called Jehovah, the self-existent one, and is thus styled in Jeremiah 23, verse 56, where it is said that the righteous branch, who shall execute judgment and justice in the earth, shall be known by the name Jehovah Tijakunu, the Lord our righteousness. Let no one, therefore, who honors Christ at all, give him less honor than he gives the Father. For this would be to dishonor the Father by just so much. But let all, with the angels in heaven, worship the Son, having no fear that they are worshiping and serving the creature instead of the Creator. And now, while the matter of Christ's divinity is fresh in our minds, let us pause to consider the wonderful story of his humiliation.